Stay Lord, what is you can start? Thank you.
Thank you, Jefferson. Jefferson, we've just prepared, we don't have a presentation, but we've got a list of issues which we just want to bring to the committee's attention. Learn from the submissions which we looked at and that was presented by the stakeholders. Chairperson, with regard to clause 1 of the bill, I just will refer to the clauses and issues under the various clauses that we want to look at and that maybe the committee would want to consider, not from a legal perspective, also from a policy perspective. First of all, Chairperson, in clause 1, the definition of locksmith, the presentation regarding the Locksmith Association, I think if I'm correct, but they've asked for the inclusion of the function of duplicating of existing keys, which is currently excluded in terms of the definition. So that will have to be amended to include the duplication of keys as a function as well. With regard to the access to the locksmith profession, this is something that has to be considered in terms of the regulation. So we could look at the regulation clause, and that will also address the grading and entering into the profession in the locksmith industry. So we can address that in terms of the regulations. But I've spoken to the presenter from the Locksmith Association, and I've indicated to what we intend to propose to the committee, and they're in agreement, but we'll be able to them once we've finalised a draft amendment in that regard. Chairperson, the next issue under clause 1 is the definition of security officer. The committee would note from the commission that on page 3 of the bill, paragraph G, subparagraph 1, is reference to the words "or otherwise engaged," and we would look at the wording of that particular clause because there are concerns that in addition to persons employed, there will be other issues that will be considered, and I think we should need to narrow that because it's a bit broad. So we'll have to look at the wording of that particular definition or the amendment proposed under paragraph G. The next issue under clause 1 is paragraph H, which deals with the reference to the regulation of interception of communications and provision of communication-related information act. Chairperson, on the face of it, it's basically an amendment that currently what the act provides for is that it refers to the Interception and Monitoring Prohibition Act 92, which was repealed by the Regulation of Interception of Communication and Provision of Communication-Related Information Act 70/2002. So initially, the only amendment relates to the change of the references of the repealed act. Now, in terms of the interpretation, it's not really necessary to update the law, but since the amendment was placed before us, we've updated the current legislation with the new legislation, which is substituted the repealed legislation. But we've listened to the committee's concerns with regard to the existing wording of the category E, paragraph, the manufacturing, importing, distributing, or advertising of monitoring devices contemplated in section 1 of that particular act. So we have to reflect on the concerns raised by the committee. But the initial intention was just to replace it to the current legislation governing monitoring and of those devices. Then, Chairperson, the next issue under clause 1 would be the paragraph K. There was a suggestion that other valuables, it deals with the cash in transit industry. It provides that the security service also include protecting and safeguarding of cash and other valuables when being transported from one point to another. And there was a suggestion by, I think, the last presenter, CR, I think, from the association, which they indicated as other valuable. The word other valuable seems to be very broad. And that is something that maybe we can just point you with wording with regard to. Maybe we can use maybe prescribe or something like that. But we can look at that as well. That's something that we'll have to look at to ensure that it's more clear in this draft. Chairperson, the next code is clause 2. Clause 2 deals with the partnerships, and I think it's clear from what we've heard before the committee that there are issues that must be addressed in respect of whether there should be partnerships, and if there's going to be crime prevention partnerships, what the extent will be, and what's the purpose of once we have once the committee deliberated on those issues, we can come up with. The committee will guide us with regard to a decision to what extent partnerships will be catered for, if so, in terms of the bill. Chairperson, the next one is under next amendment and issue is under clause 3. Under clause 3, basically with regard to the issues raised was in respect of the reporting, and that is something that we will propose to the committee. With regard to the extent of quarterly reporting and specific items that must be reported to on by the authority that must be included on a quarterly basis. The next issue relates to clause 5, and there was issues raised with regard to the expansion of the staff complement of CIRA. It's proposed that the consideration be given to the council to being required to get approval from the Minister for increasing staff. So we're looking at proposals that we would advise the committee on with regard to the expansion of the staff complement by introducing a provision or to amend in a way that to that CEO or the council will be required to have the approval of the Minister should CEO increase its staff. But that's something that we will also look into, because that's also an issue that came up with the public hearing. Clause 6, Chairperson, it relates to the treasury with regard to the payment of levies. Our view is that it's not necessary to provide for the issue of payment of levies received by CIRA to the National Treasury in the bill, as it is covered by the Treasury Regulation. So we also have to look at that, but that's our initial view at this stage. But we'll look into, and maybe the meeting with Treasury, maybe we'll throw some light on that issue as well. Clause 9 of the bill, Chairperson, is the section that deals with the obligation to register an exemption. Chairperson, that is something that we will have to look at in respect of the current provision of control and ownership, as well as the justification, and also to look at proposals depending on the instructions of the committee to strengthen the minister's role with regard to the percentages and the different sectors, and also the issue with regard to permanent residents and how far they will be affected in terms of the policy. So that is something that we will really have to look at, and so we will revert to the committee in respect of those particular issues. And the same with clause 11, which is we will have to look at the transitional arrangements with regard to the current employees in the private security issue and look at proposals for consideration of the committee with regard to the transitional provisions. In Chairperson Clause 15, they will, 14, sorry, Chairperson, 14, we will look at the alignment with the Firearms Control Act, and I think we will liaise with staff in that regard. We've provided certain comments on the bill, so we'll have to take that on board and we'll react with SAS in that regard when proposing amendments in that particular section. And then clause 18, dealing with the offences, we also have to look at the alignment of the Firearms Control Act under clause 18. Chairperson, that is as far as upcoming relates to for this at this stage, Chairperson. But there's quite a few things that we'll have to look at in respect of the constitutional issues and depending on the advisory committee and the outcome of our meetings with different departments. Thank you, Chair.
Members, anything that you want to add, that you believe they should look at, anything that you feel they've missed? Nothing. That's too easy.
Constitution as well, and I want a full, really a full
call from you, because every single presentation given to us referred to exactly that issue. And also there was no reference to what was described as the overbroad discretion afforded the Minister of Police, who seems able to change the percentages.
He did refer to that.
Okay, I certainly missed that, but and I know there was an objection to various people using the word expropriation, but expropriation is defined as the forced transfer of a right of property, and that's exactly what this is. So I don't know how you're going to get around that, because it is absolutely unconstitutional. I'll be very interested to see your reports when they come through on that. And I take it you remember the ambiguity where in one section of the bill, you or Sarah or whoever put it together had, okay, 51%, but elsewhere in the bill they said 100%. So we had that problem. I don't know if you made a note of that when we raised this yesterday. Thank you.
Can I just say, let's not crucify anybody at this stage. The purpose of what we're doing now is to highlight exactly those issues that we believe they should go and have a look at. And they might have missed some, and if you've missed some, you will take note of those, but I believe that most of the issues that were raised were covered, although the one on the commercial ships and security wasn't covered, and I would suggest that you speak to SAPS around that one as well. I also believe that if you look at Section H is also an issue, and the Section 1H is also an issue, and JH is called. I would refer you to the fact of the transporting issue, where they said if we're not looking at that wording carefully, it would mean that Transnet, every courier service, etc., will have to come and you raised claim that you didn't raise that one. We'll have to look at that one as well. The whole issue on partnerships, you also need to speak to SAPS around possible wordings there. And we want you to reflect also on SAPS submission on H of 1, the monitoring bill, just on that wording as well. I think you've got a copy of that. The reporting of council. We would also like you to have a look at council in its totality, including the chairmanship, etc., that it be a part-time council. Everybody, the whole council becoming a part-time council. And reporting you've raised there, but reporting should also be raised in terms of the annual report. Because there we've made clear points in terms of what we believe CIRA should be reporting to this committee. In the annual report, and that it can't just simply be, it's got to reflect the suspension of security officers, it's got to reflect the registration of companies, etc., etc. Detail as we require from any other entity reporting to this Parliament as well, and also there we relate the issue of quarterly financial reports, etc., coming to this committee. The issue of 5A we did raise in terms of the staff establishment, but it goes further. It's not only about the three directors, deputy directors. It's about the removal of the word deputy director as well. Because that means we're opening this up that in half a year's time, suddenly we find that CIRA has now allocated themselves a DG status and chief directors, etc., etc. So we need to look at that section in its totality. The annual report 16 I've raised with you, that needs to be looked at in more detail. The issue of 9, section 9, amendment of section 20, the minister and the exemptions. I would like to make a suggestion to you that you look at the possibility and drafting something around that as well. Of an exemption committee, advisory committee, that can assist the minister so that we cover this issue about that was raised by most of the presenters about the minister having too much discretionary power, and also the issue that was raised by ourselves that we might in the end bust down the minister with exemptions and he will not be able to deal with anything other So that we look at an advisory committee there, and that we look at the different role players, and that on that advisory committee, we not have people not at the level of the director generals or even deputy director generals, at the level of people that can do the job, that we look at the involvement of SAPS on that committee, the involvement of CIRA on that committee, the involvement of trade and industry on that committee, the involvement of home affairs on that committee, the involvement of state security on that committee, led by a legal person, most possibly from the secretariat side, a legal person from the secretariat side. So if you can have a look and draft at something around that issue as well, so that we can look at the exemption issue where it's transparent. Then also we need to look at the possibility, not the possibility, at the requirements of administrative justice. Currently it's open. We have one of the issues that was raised last week was the fact that there was an exemption before the minister or before CIRA for 4 years in the end that had to take the case in court in order to get a ruling on this issue. We don't want that kind of embarrassment. So we want to have clear administrative guidelines within 90 days, etc., etc. The final decision can still remain the minister's decision, but it must be done after there has been given considerate opinion from this advisory group that will look at that. So that's a suggestion that I'm putting on the table, just to maybe look at that. The issue of the finances, we will come back to that issue once the technical committee, I'm going to refer to this group on my left now, technical committee has done their different meetings, etc. We will come back to that. Then the issue that was raised about the differentiation between current employees, we did raise it, but we need to be very clear in the transitional section about current security, registered security officers, and then the going forward around it. The other thing is that I personally have an issue with, it wasn't raised, but I don't understand why the authority may suspend the registration of the security service provider if there's a single topic as of improper conduct, commission of an offence, the security service fails to comply with any commission of this act. So we must look at that as well. Do we want may or do we want must in the, so we need to look at that as well. Central Finance, you will have to refer to SAPS as well as include the inclusion of maritime security. I'm calling it maritime security. You can call it whatever you want, whether commercial security, whatever it is. Then I think it's also important that you have a look at the alignment of this to the mercenary Act. Then I want to state it quite clear. That from every single presentation that we received, it was clear that the memorandum accompanying this call is not clear enough. And we will have to relook the memorandum, in terms of the motivation for the bill, the purpose of the bill, etc. That in the end is important because once this bill is taken to court, whether now or in future, it will form part of the judge who's going to preside over that understanding of why it was necessary for the bill. And if the industry and the people that came to make such mission are not clear on it now, then we run a risk of, in future, there not being any clarity around that issue as well. I hope I have covered, I'm looking at the resources, if I've missed something, let me know, please. Sira, over to you, in terms of your things that you want to raise following the public hearing.
Chair, I just wanted to ask for input on one sentence. This is also in the memorandum at the end. I'd like someone to explain this, what to me is a xenophobic sentence, the threat to increase national security posed by the participation of foreign nationals. I want some research to show me that the people who live in our country legally are a threat to the country, because that is incredibly insulting.
I have referred to the memorandum, and I think it forms part of looking at the memorandum and its totality, and then we can, if
the honourable member still have a question after that, I think she can have obviously more than welcome to raise it again. I thought the Secretary of Police this morning in her presentation indicated, I think part of our challenge is the fact that too much emphasis in the memorandum to the bill is focused on the national security and not enough on what is happening internationally in the United Nations issues that you've raised, etc. So maybe, you know, it can all be worded quite better to achieve the same thing, but please have a look at it so that we can answer those questions. Mr. Choke, over to you.
Thank you, Jefferson. Just to comment on what he said to our advisor, we are in agreement with the issues that they have raised to be reviewed. In terms of the submissions that were made, we have prepared a presentation line by line. Just wanted to find out from the chair if the time will allow, because it's quite a lot of slides on that. Or should we rather submit to the committee to look at it first?
Mr. Chair, if you prepare the presentation, the ideal would be that you give that presentation and hand it out to the members so that they can see what you are talking about. And I think I'm talking to the state law advisors now. Going forward, things need to be in writing. You make the suggestions to us, it needs to be in writing. There needs to be enough copies for the members. Members are not going to take decisions on verbal presentations. It needs to be in writing, it needs to be in front of members. Even if it's a one paragraph on a section that really has that is under discussion. The fact of the matter is that is how we deal with legislation. We cannot deal with this legislation on verbatim presentations. Mr. Cho, if you say line by line, I'm not sure I understand.
What we did, Madam Chair, we took the submissions as they were summarized by every party, all the parties that made submissions, and as they raised issues. In the issue that they raised, the submission, and then our response. The issue that they raised, our response. So what I'm saying is quite a lot of things. Should I carry on with what they submitted, what our response is, what they submitted, what our response is?
I'm going to ask you that you prepare that in a document form. We can start with that tomorrow morning. We can start with that. But you have agreement with the state law advisor that we need to relook at things. Take out those, because it's not necessary that you then repeat them year for us. So what we're going to do is we're going to give you an opportunity to put it in a document form tomorrow morning to distribute enough copies for members so that we can then have it in front of us when we look at it. Members, is there any other thing that you want to raise currently over and above that?
Okay.
Members, I think what I said around about 4:30 is sensible. Let me just check here. Senior management to become South African, is there clarity around it that it is the same, it's 5 years, am I correct? But you need that needs what I'm suggesting to the state law advisors when you talk about the transitional arrangements. All these need to be spelled out very clearly because currently it isn't.
Yes, Chair, the group forgot clause 9 and 11 revision.
Yeah, and the other thing is what the bill is not doing, and that is, I think, a concern that might also be a concern of Treasury as well, is if you look at the bill as it is currently, it's almost like you're doing away with your responsibility to collect levies and to collect fines, etc., etc. The bill still needs to speak to that, because that still remains part of your responsibility and part of your income. That's your only leverage that you have on the industry. And I know you said the Levies Act hasn't been implemented yet, but who are we complaining for that? Surely not Parliament. We've passed this bill. So the Levies Act needs to be implemented and it needs to be clarified here. Can I make just one other point? If there's anything that you believe can be addressed in the regulations, our first price would be that it's not addressed in the regulations, but it's spelled out in the bill. It must be the minimal issues that is addressed in the regulations. In the past, CIRA had a problem of wanting to put things in the regulation and they couldn't because the bill didn't make provision or the act didn't make provision for it. And you can't make regulations around issues that is not in the act.
or in the bill. So if you are perceiving that there needs to be regulations around certain issues, you better make sure that those issues are reflected in the bill. If they're not reflected in the bill, you will not be able to make recommendations on those. You can only make regulations on the issues that are in the bill. I don't think I'm wrong on, sectoral advisors and parliamentary advisors also indicating that. Now, going forward, CIRA is going to start, we're starting the meeting tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. I want to give them some time to do what is necessary. We're going to start with CIRA's presentation that you're going to give handouts to the members and that you can then take us through. Where you can cluster things together, please cluster them together. I mean, it's not necessary to refer to different presenters if it was the same issue raised, just in the interest of time. Secondly, by tomorrow morning, we want a report from the technical committee when you are having the meetings with training industry, home affairs, international affairs, if trade industry indicates to you that it's necessary to do that as well. Treasury, I said, who else was there? State security, if there is a need for that as well. That we have tomorrow an indication. And the reason why I'm saying that is that it's very difficult for this committee to continue with the work before that we don't have clarity on those issues. And we can only continue that work once you come in and you give us a concise view of it. Third issue, CIRA is going to present tomorrow on the budget and the extra information that requested you. That we've requested you last week and Tuesday already, and that must also be with handouts, not verbal, handouts to the committee. Implementation plan as well. So the requirement of any piece of legislation is that this committee gets an implementation plan on legislation before it. Any committee of parliament gets implementation. So you're going to have your meetings, you're going to come to us tomorrow, hopefully, and I mean that's what the urgency of this matter is, that we would actually expect you to have some of those meetings between now and tomorrow morning. We are going, 5 o'clock we're leaving, or whenever Parliament arrives, we're leaving. You're not leaving. You're going to continue with this work. And you're going to come and give us clear indications on those issues. Setting up those meetings, starting to meet with them, etc. We're under pressure in terms of time frames as well to finish this book. We're making it clear that we can't start discussing clause by clause before you have sorted out those issues in front of us. There was another thing that needs to be done tomorrow. Yeah, you are pleased. The issues are state law advisors and parliamentary legal advisors specifically. The issues of constitutionality around the foreign ownership and the false sale. If you can give us tomorrow a clear indication on that. And then, state law advisors, technical committee, Thursday afternoon when we start, we are going to expect you to have some of these things that we've now already agreed that must be looked at in writing. Some of these things must be in writing. Where we know clauses must change, where we know and there's agreement that these things must happen, we need that in writing. Oh, that's the one issue that I do not believe has been adequately addressed. It's the issue of criminality. The criminal, if a security guard is found guilty of criminal activity. The 10-year issue is not addressing your problem, as I explained this morning, because it's expansion of criminal records could simply mean that person doesn't have to tell you, and they're not breaking the law either. They don't have to tell you that they had a criminal record. So that's not the answer. We must be clear about the schedules of offences that we are talking about. And, you know, what I'm saying is what you've done in the bill is you've extended from 5 years to 10 years. That's not the solution. Because the solution those evidence people, one crimes, you can ask for your records to be expunged by the president, etc. And then you don't have to refer. So if you just can come back to us on that issue as well, to address your problem, but do it in a more, you know, in a way that would actually help. And I think one of those issues, one of those ways is exactly what we raised this morning about re-registering once of a fingerprint register of private security guards, house with SAPs in the criminal record center, etc. So just think about those things and how we can possibly find solutions around it. Maybe there's anything else that we have left out. Covered anything? We're sitting in 4:75. We will be starting at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, 4:75. Members, I know that it is our cluster answering questions tomorrow. Our minister has one question that is coming up tomorrow. Look at the prioritized question list. There's one question coming up. So I would urge members that we really make ourselves available for tomorrow afternoon as well to continue with the work that needs to be done. Those members that are involved in the questions can be excused for that period, but will then have to come back. And Ms. Ndlova, I know you're involved in more than just the police issue, you're also involved in the defense and some others as well. But what I'm saying is we've got permission to sit tomorrow. So please, we have a lot of work to do and we need to do so. Anything from the technical committee side?
Chair, thanks. Nothing technical, just an apology in advance. The Chair, as members are aware, are ill, and the Councillor and what John is with his family tomorrow. Unfortunately, I won't be here for the next day or two, but we'll be joining the team after he was standing in that case. Thank you.
That's fine, as long as we have somebody from the Council present at all times, I think it's important. Uncle Honorable Law was confusing me. I almost demoted the secretary as well.
I don't know if it's a demotion. But anyway, I just wanted to ask about the implementation plan. My understanding is that one of the issues that still needs to be discussed is treasury. So if people are going to submit the implementation plan tomorrow, it may then have to be resubmitted in a reworked form. So I'm just asking whether there's any use in doing that plan.
With all due respect, we raised this issue last week on Tuesday when the presentation was made. If that was dependent on meetings with Treasury, then CIRA should have met with Treasury before tomorrow. And I'm really not going to back down on this thing. We have made it quite clear. If it means Treasury and CIRA sit throughout the night, then it means they sit throughout the night. I really am not... then we can also argue why are they presenting us the budget. So it's the same thing. We warned last week that this is dependent also on Treasury. We warned. So I'm not giving in on that issue. We need to have those presentations. Okay. Members, thank you very much. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much. We will see you at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. ANC members, if you could just remain behind for a second, please.